You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, September 4th. The Democratic governors of Oregon, Washington, and California are forming a new public health partnership aimed at preserving access to vaccines. The partnership is called the Western Health Alliance. The governors said in a joint statement, the group will develop its own immunization guidelines, informed by respected national medical organizations. The announcement comes after a week of chaos at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Last week, the White House fired the director of the CDC, who had refused to approve vaccine policies preferred by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Several of the agency's top career scientists then resigned in protest. The West Coast governors say that under Kennedy, the CDC has become, quote, a political tool that increasingly peddles ideology instead of science, end quote. Oregon Democrats are hitting pause on their push to raise taxes to pay for road and bridge maintenance. As Dirk Vanderhart reports, the delay comes after a key lawmaker experienced health issues.
Senate Democrats had planned to vote Wednesday on a package of tax and fee increases proposed by Governor Tina Kotek. Now the vote has been pushed back 2 weeks. The problem for Democrats is they're missing a member. Senator Chris Gorsuch of Gresham suffered health complications after a recent surgery and can't make it to the Capitol. But Democrats need Gorsuch's yes vote if they hope to pass the transportation bill. The wait is awkward, given the urgency Democrats have attached to the bill. Without around $300 million more in the current budget, the Oregon Department of Transportation says it will lay off nearly 10% of its workforce. Those layoffs had been scheduled to take place September 15th, 2 days before the transportation bill is expected to receive a vote. They're now likely to be pushed back further. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
The number of people experiencing homelessness in Pacific County is growing. A recent report from the Washington State Department of Commerce estimates that 716 people were either homeless or unstably housed in the county as of this January. That number represents a roughly 5% increase from both 2023 and 2024. Pacific County's housing stock is generally greater than that of other rural counties in Washington, in part because of the high volume of vacation and second homes. But the lack of new, affordable housing has long been a problem. On top of that, Pacific County's population has grown about 15% over the past 15 years. The number of housing units increased by just 4%. A new sales tax passed by the county commission went into effect last summer, aimed at supporting new, affordable, and supportive housing, as well as facilities related to mental and behavioral health. The 0.1% tax has raised more than $500,000 since going into effect last July. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. The city of Rockaway Beach recently requested to take over a section of railroad tracks north of its wayside currently being used by the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad in order to construct a portion of the Salmonberry Trail. Proponents of the trail and representatives from the city argue that its benefits for Rockaway Beach and neighboring Wheeler would outweigh those provided by the railroad. Some have also questioned the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad's financial situation. But general manager of the railroad, Trevor Park, says it's on track to be in a strong financial situation by next year. City leaders in Wheeler also say that the railroad is a symbol of the city and critical to local businesses' success. At this point, lease negotiations between the railroad and the Port of Tillamook Bay are expected to proceed. The Salmonberry Trail Intergovernmental Agency must sign off on any new lease with the railroad. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Every summer, about 30 miles off the Oregon coast, there's a stunning run of albacore tuna. The big, silvery fish migrate across the Pacific from the waters off of Japan. They're looking for the little fish that live off the nutrients Oregon's coastal currents sweep up off the seafloor. As Christian Vote and Wenzel reports, Garibaldi has hosted the Oregon Tuna Classic for the last 20 years.
The two-day fishing competition starts at 4 in the morning. Crews get up, put food and ice on their boats, fuel up, then go to the mouth of Tillamook Bay for a 6 o'clock shotgun start.
That's where everybody's at the starting line, and you all leave at the exact same moment.
John Yates runs a Portland construction company, but today he's on his boat, dressed head to toe in a reflective white fishing bib. It took 2.5 hours, battling 40-mile-an-hour winds just to get to the fishing grounds.
Today it was pretty rough out there. Seas were steep, so it made it difficult to troll. Lines were getting blown all over the place, other than just holding on to the seat of our pants and trying to keep, getting seasick. I'm looking for water temperature breaks. I'm looking for the water to change color. I'm looking for any signs of life, birds, whales.
Sometimes those signs will look like a feeding frenzy. Anglers will stop and drop jigs into the water. That's when things can get really crazy, says sports fisherman Doug Zickman.
It seems like that you can't stop them from getting in. Lines get crossed and it's just mayhem for that time period.
When things are just right, the tuna fight like hell and one fish after another bounces onto the deck. But then, as quickly as it started, the frenzy dies away. And there's no time to waste, though. Teams get their trawling lines back in the water because there's the 4 o'clock deadline for boats to return for the official weigh-in. On the Garibaldi docks, a crane lifts a metal bucket filled with tuna onto a scale at the captain's corner. It's a fish processing plant / gas station / restaurant / community meeting house. Older men in bright orange fishing gear count and weigh the fish, while youngsters shovel ice into big blue thermos containers to keep the albacore fresh. Inside a room-sized refrigerator sits Lorena Eshelman.
So my job today is to put in the computer how much the big fish is and how much they're donating. We keep it secret until Saturday night. Y'all, I'm sure they're talking about it already, trying to beat each other.
Like everyone here today, Eshelman is volunteering. The Oregon Tuna Classic isn't just about the biggest fish. It's a fundraiser for the Oregon Food Bank and Ducks Unlimited. Ducks Unlimited regional director John Stanfield helped turn the tournament into the event it is today.
It all started just based on friendship. A group of guys going out catching a lot of fish after they'd fed all their neighbors and friends and family, they thought, well, we still love to go catch fish. What would we do with this fish? And so they came up with the idea to create this tournament that would essentially benefit the community by providing a really good food source to the food pantries up and down the North Coast.
Can you spell it out for me? Because I have this vision of handing over a tuna to a homeless person. How do you go about doing that?
So in the beginning, we were paying a processor to can all the tuna.
But that was very expensive, $3 a can. Now fish processors like Pacific Seafoods will cut and package the fish for free while volunteers deliver it to food banks. This year, they donated 950 fish, or 14,000 pounds worth. Back on the docks, Jason Strasser searches each boat as it returns to make sure nobody's secretly storing fish for the next day.
They can donate their fish, or they can keep their fish.
You're Johnny on the spot in terms of getting them to donate.
Yeah, well, I am. And it's important that they don't keep their fish on their boat for tomorrow, because everybody is supposed to come here, is supposed to unload all their fish.
Does it get pretty competitive then?
It's all bragging rights for them. It's a big fun tournament and a big tournament. This is why I love the Oregon Tuna Classic.
The event is truly a special slice of Oregon coastal life. And while a lot of people had a great time this year, the horizontal rain made it a bit of a washout. 48 boats registered, but only 29 landed any fish. Team Lewis and Clark won with a tuna weighing over 24 pounds. Their success means they're now qualified for the World Offshore Fishing Championship in Costa Rica. Meanwhile, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, says the albacore tuna run is both sustainable and responsibly harvested, largely because tuna are caught online instead of in a net, meaning few other species are caught accidentally. Christian Foden-Wenzel, Garibaldi.
The Tillicum Foundation, the governing board of KMUN, will hold a special meeting at noon on Friday over Zoom. Board meetings are open to the public. However, the board will be adjourning into executive session to discuss personal matters. Executive sessions are not open to the public, and no decisions may be made in an executive session. Following the executive session, the board will reconvene to a public session. For more information about the Tillicum Foundation and for the Zoom link for the meeting, go to kmun.org/Tillicum Foundation. You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.